I was telling the first hour, on Friday afternoon, my computer went kaput, and I have everything in my computer, my programs. I have Logos, which is a Dallas Seminary program originally, and which is very helpful in your study. It has the Hebrew and the Greek and everything in that, and I want you to pray for me this week, because I lost all of that. And I need to get that back in my into my computer. You know what they say, you can't teach old dog new tricks. And I've been using Windows 7, but with the Office 2003. Now I'm up to 2013. That's a 10-year jump. That's like a light year in computer language. So I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing this week, except downloading and loading up information on this new computer. I was able to get my PowerPoints. When it went out, I sort of panicked for a moment and thought, I'm not going to be able to do this on Sunday morning. It's helpful for me. I don't know if it's helpful for you to see it on the screen, but I was able to get those off. So you remember me in prayer as I deal with the downloading all the information that I need to deal with. It's going to take probably 2 days to do that, and I don't know if I can do it. We'll just see how it works. Anyway. Remember me in prayer. Now, we're in Daniel chapter 9. We're looking at the last four verses of that chapter, beginning in verse 24. And we're talking about the rapture. And what I'm trying to build for you, or to show you, that the rapture really centers in the way in which you approach Scripture. We are a dispensational church. We believe there are various dispensations in which God deals with man in different ways. We are we believe in seven dispensations, and at the end we have the dispensation of the church, which we are in now. And that dispensation will end with the rapture, and will begin a tribulation. And the end of that tribulation, we believe that Christ will come back to this earth a second time, having purged the earth of sin and wickedness, will come back and establish His kingdom, a righteous kingdom, will rule for 1,000 years, and then this old earth, the old heavens and earth will be destroyed, a new heaven and earth will be created, and righteousness will reign in that new heaven and new earth. You and I will participate in all of that. We're part of that program that God has. And the rapture is only a part of it. And if you don't go to Scripture with a dispensational approach, then you don't have a rapture. And we believe there is, and that dispensational approach, really, the essence of it is found here in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. And if you can understand that there is a program for the nation Israel. We know that the church is a mystery. It's something that was not revealed before. And the Apostle Paul, God graciously revealed the church, what the church was and what God was doing in this age that we live in. That it was something new. He was forming a body. That body was to be the bride of Jesus Christ, and someday He's coming back for it. That bride is comprised of Jews and Gentiles being called into one body. And we're all baptized by one Spirit into that one body. So when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you were baptized into Jesus Christ. And you became a part of His body, but you also became a part of the future, that we are God's gift to the Son. We are the bride that will be given to the Son in the millennial kingdom. That will take place. We'll be raptured out, and we'll be stand before the bema seat of Christ and receive the rewards, and we'll be clothed in robes of righteousness, and He will bring us back in all of our beautiful array to present us to as His bride in the millennial kingdom. I mentioned to you that I'm not sure of this, but I suspect that the millennial kingdom will last for 1,000 years. It will be a celebration for 1,000 years. And we will exhibit God's grace as it's never been exhibited before in time. Israel will exhibit God's patience and God's long-suffering. We will just exhibit God's grace in an unusual way, His love and His grace. So anyway, we're looking at this, and what I want you to see is there are 70 weeks that are determined upon your people. Your people here represents Daniel's people. Daniel's people are the Jewish people, the Israelites. And God has determined these 70 weeks. Now, we saw that these 70 weeks are weeks of years. And they're divided, division of those 70 weeks. You have 7 weeks. We'll see that in the next verse. Verse 26, we'll see that it's divided into 7 weeks, and then into 62 weeks, and then into 1 week. And that's important to see. If you don't understand that, you will not understand how we get at the rapture. All right? That's how we're. This is really a determining thing on how the rapture, or how the rapture fits into all of this. These are determined for the people. That's 70 weeks of years, or 490 years. Are you all with me? That's important to see that. Now, according to verse 24, look at verse 24. There are 70 weeks determined upon your people and upon the holy city. That holy city is Jerusalem. God has a plan for the city of Jerusalem. And he's going to fulfill that promise. He's determined, or has decreed. That word determined means to decree, to will this to come to place. Now, if God wills something, or if God determines to do something, or if God decrees something to be done, I will guarantee that he will do it. He didn't change his mind. He's going to do this 70 weeks. All right? You with me? In those 70 weeks, there are 6 things that are going to be accomplished. The first is, he's going to finish the transgression. We notice the word "the" in there. The transgression was the rejection of the people of Israel of their Messiah. The second is to make an end of sins. The third was to make reconciliation for iniquity. The fourth is to bring everlasting righteousness. And the fifth is to seal up the visions and prophecy. And last is to anoint the holy, or the most holy, and that is the Holy of Holies. Now, the foundation of all this being accomplished is Christ's work on the cross. All right? And he's going to talk about the Messiah being cut off. But the foundation, none of these things have happened yet. These are all future. These are things that are determined upon your people, that is upon Israel, and this will happen someday. You can't transpose that on the church. This has to do with Israel, your people. God is very specific. Daniel is very specific in dealing with that. All right? Now, are there any questions before we move on? We'll look at verse 26 in a minute. Or I mean verse 25. Any questions? All right, in verse 25 then it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince of these 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. Now, do you notice how he divided it? 7 weeks, then threescore and 2 weeks. That's 62 weeks. It's very specific. You got to keep that in mind. Back that up just a quick couple times. Go back here. You see how we have it divided? 7 weeks, 49 years. 62 weeks, 434 years. That leaves 1 year then would be left, which would be the 70th week. You've heard so much about Daniel's 70th week. You've all heard about that. That's the week that we're talking about there. It's the last week, the 7 weeks. We believe that it's a tribulation period. There's a 7-year period. It hasn't taken place yet, but it's going to happen. Now, we're looking at this verse, and notice what it says. Understand, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince will be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and the street will be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So this is where we're headed for. In Daniel, he's looking at this, and the first thing you have to keep in mind is the division that God has decreed in this division of time, things to take place. And the end of 70 weeks, there's 6 things that are going to be accomplished. 70 weeks, and those 6 things that I mentioned to you will be accomplished in that period of time. Now, from this, we have to establish when those 70 weeks began. When did those 70 weeks begin? From the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, all right, and the walls of the city, all right? That's what we're looking at. And establishing that is not hard, but I want you to pay attention. There are 4 decrees made by the kings of Medo-Persia. Those decrees were certain, they were to be carried out. And the first one was made by Cyrus the Great. That's in Ezra, if you want to write these down, you want to. And that is to rebuild the temple. To rebuild the temple. All right? So the first had nothing to do with rebuilding the city. All it had to do was rebuild the temple. The second decree was by Darius, or Darius the Great. By the way, Darius is just a title. It's not a name. They gave it like Caesars. There were many Caesars. Well, there were many Darius or Cyrus. There were titles given to these kings at that time. The second decree that we have in the Bible by the Medes and Persians at this time was to confirm Cyrus's decree. In other words, there were problems, and he said, "Yeah, we're going to go ahead and do it. It's going to be completed." So that was the second one. That's in Ezra chapter 6. The third decree is Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes is also a title. Some believe it's Ahasuerus, Esther's, the book of Esther. His was to confirm or to finish, not just finish the temple, but to bring the instruments. They sent gold and silver back to make instruments and to reestablish worship in the temple. So that's the third decree. Now you'll notice in none of these is there a mention of rebuilding the city. See, it's the decree that goes forth to rebuild or to build the city and the walls of Jerusalem. That's what we're looking for. Now there's one more decree that was by Artaxerxes also. That's found in Nehemiah chapter 2 verses 1 to 8. He authorized the building of the city and the walls of Jerusalem. All right? That was in 445 B.C. So we have a beginning date now. If you look back at it again, from the time, 70 weeks are determined, and it's going to begin with the decree to rebuild the walls, from the commandment to rebuild the walls. And Artaxerxes commanded the people to rebuild the walls. It took 49 years to rebuild the wall, the city and the walls of Jerusalem. How many weeks was it going to take? Seven. It's seven sevens is 49. The date is 397. If you subtracted that, you come up about 397, 396, somewhere in that neighborhood. If you know your biblical history, the book of Malachi ended in 397. And then you have 400 years of silence. We have the silent years between the Old Testament and New Testament. These are years that God did not speak. There were things happening in the nation Israel, but God wasn't speaking through a prophet. And so you have those 400 silent years that are taking place in that period of time. All right? Are you all with me? Now this completed the first 7 weeks. Now we have, remember the time divided what? 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 1 week, right? Keep that in mind. You have to keep that in mind. When the walls were completed, the first 7 weeks were completed. That leaves 63 weeks out of the 70. And that's divided into 62 weeks and 1 week, which is exactly what Daniel did. We see it in Daniel. The next 62 weeks, or 434 years, will end before the cutting off of the Messiah. Notice what he says in that verse again. Let's look back at Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem," 445 B.C. is when that commandment went. Artaxerxes gave the commandment that they could go back and rebuild the city and the walls of that city. "Unto the Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 80 and 2 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the walls, even in troublous times." So this is going to happen. It's going to happen in troublous times. Now there's one note that I wanted you to... Will you turn back to Nehemiah? I want you to just confirm this commandment. Will you turn back to the book of Nehemiah with me very quickly? The book of Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah. I want you to look at the footnote, the Schofield footnote on verse 5. Verse 5 of this book says, "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest that you send me into Jerusalem, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it." You see it? Now, Artaxerxes gave him the command. He gave the command, and that's exactly what they did. You see that in the next few verses. Now, notice again, verse 5. Now notice the footnote. This is what Schofield wrote. This is the only decree actually recorded in the scripture that relates to the restoring and building of the city of Jerusalem. Now if you go back to 9:24 and 25, when's it going to begin? It's going to begin with a command to rebuild the city. This is the only place in the scripture. And since Nehemiah is careful to date the royal decree in the month Nisan, the 20th year of Artaxerxes, it's quite certain that here is the starting point of the period of 70 weeks foretold by Daniel. All right? Daniel said there's 40 weeks. We're going to begin with the commandment. Now, when this is completed, 49 weeks are done. When the walls are completed, 49 weeks, we come to the end of the Old Testament. And then there's the 400 years of silence, and God does not speak. This brings us into the New Testament. It brings us into the birth of Jesus Christ. It brings us to His crucifixion, His triumphal entry, and then His crucifixion. And we have that in the Gospels, and we understand that. We all believe that. From Artaxerxes' second decree, 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 49 years plus 430, that's 483 years, all right, has gone by. After 483 years, the Messiah will be cut off. After 483 years, the Messiah will be cut off. If you do the calculation, you'll see that's very, very close. As a matter of fact, it's very accurate. Very accurate. If we take the years and we multiply this out, a Jewish year consisted of 360 days. They didn't have 365. They just calculated 360 days in a year. If you multiply 483 years by 360, you come up with 173,880 days. I want to show you how accurate this is. From March 14th to 445 BC to April 6th, 32 AD, from the decree being sent to send back to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild it, to the triumphal entry, is exactly 173,880 days. You with me? Now, when you get to the Gregorian calendar, the calendar that we're under, you have to make some transitions. And I want you to see, this was done by Sir Robert Anderson in his book on the coming kingdom. He did research on this. Did all the calculations, went to astronomers, and really worked on this thing to see if this was accurate or not. And so he began to work on this, and his date from March 14th to April 6th, 32 AD, we know that to be true. So he took those years, he took the 476 years, times the Gregorian calendar had 365 days in it. So when he multiplied that out, he came to 173,740 days. That's too many. Let's back up. I'm sorry. 17,880. He's a little short. All right. He took the time from 314.45 to 632. He took those extra days in there. He added 24 days from March 14th to, not that shouldn't be B.C. in there, but from March 14th to April the 6th, 24 days, he added that. So he come up with 173,764 days. He's still short. What he found out and what he discovered is that there were leap years in there that no one ever calculated. So every 4 years, you have an extra day added. So when he added that up, if you divide 476 by 4, you come up with 119 extra days. Now, if you add those together, you have 173,883 days. You all with me? That's 3 days too many. Now, I told you this was accurate. So he went back and did some research. And what he found out is that a solar year, which is what they went on, the 365 days. A solar year is 128 longer than a calendar year. So if you take the 476, divide that by 128, you have 3 days. If you take that 173,883 days, and you subtract 3 days from it, guess what you come up with? The same thing as the Jewish calendar. You tell me that isn't exact? Listen to me. When God says something and God determines the time, it's going to be accurate. It's going to be exactly. It's going to be exactly. Sir Robert Anderson did these calculations. I mentioned when we were teaching the book of Daniel, I had a classmate of mine that became a professor at Dallas Seminary, Harold Horner. He passed away a few years ago, but he did some research, and of course, you know, we've found a lot of things out, and he did some calculations, and he concludes that those 70 years are accurate, exactly right. He just found a different date of it. He concluded that by his calculation, 70 weeks of years began on March 5th. This one began March 14th. So, he went back in history and adjusted the Persian calendar with the Jewish lunar calendar, and he came up with March the 5th, and the triumphal entry took place on March 33 B.C. That was the triumphal entry. Jesus was crucified shortly after that, after these 483 years are done. All right? So he had his triumphal entry. A couple of days later, he's put on the cross, the cutting off of the Messiah. Pinpointing, this is, I mean, I would, it's amazing what they've done. I don't know how anyone can go back and do all this, but they've done it, and accurately they've done it. Pinpointing the exact dates in ancient history is not easy. We go back and we study dates and we say, well, that isn't right, and sure enough, someone comes out with the right answer. But these calculations clearly demonstrate that 483 years end sometime near the end of Christ's earthly ministry. Maybe a day or two, but it's pretty close. If the Lord tarries, and we may find some new discoveries, but I want to tell you what, this will still remain the same. Do you know why I know it's going to remain the same? Because God has determined it to remain the same. He determined 483 years. It isn't going to change. Now, listen to me. You can't believe in a part of this prophecy and discard the other part. Either it's all true or it's all false. You can't make it one or the other. You can't break it up, I should say. The prophecy of 70 weeks is either a gross lie or it's the truth. The calculations are so clear that 483 years, and shortly after that, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. So from Artaxerxes' first decree to rebuild the city in 445 B.C. until the triumphal entry in 32 A.D. was exactly 173,880 days. Exactly. Regardless of how you calculate it, when you go back and study it, men have done this, and it is accurate. It's important to understand that. Any questions? You all get it? All right, let's look at verse 26 then. We'll move on. Verse 26, after 62 weeks. Now, 7 weeks have passed. Now, 62 weeks. That will be 69 weeks. After the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Already the first has been fulfilled, the first 7 weeks. So again, the Messiah will be cut off. Be cut off. All right? After those 7 weeks. Four things are going to happen in this verse. Notice what they are. Quickly. First of all, the Messiah will be cut off. The second thing is the people of the prince will come. The city will be destroyed, the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary or the temple will be destroyed. This verse reveals all that. And the fourth thing is desolations are determined. These four things are going to take place. We'll take one of them at a time, and we'll go through them. These take place between the 69th and 70th week. Get that now. After the 62 weeks, after the 7 years of rebuilding, and then 62 weeks, the Messiah is cut off. Now, after that, these four things are going to happen. Let's look at them one at a time. The word cut off is the word karoth in the Hebrew. It means to cut something down, or to cut off, like you're cutting off the branches of a tree is the idea, or you're trimming a grapevine, you cut the branches off, to cut them off is the idea. It can be used figuratively. If you go back in the old time, you find that they cut a covenant. They cut a covenant. And that word is used to make a covenant. Probably the reason they use the word cut, remember in Genesis 15, where God put Abram in a deep sleep and he cut the animals in two and he made a covenant. Now, I'm not sure that's where it came from, but that word is used. And it was used of a blood covenant, cutting the animals in two, and that may be how we get this word, they cut a covenant in the Old Testament. But it also has the idea, not only that, but it means to perish or to die. So when he talks about the Messiah being cut off, it means his death. All right? Refers to his death. Now, did you notice when it's going to occur? After. You ought to mark that word after. I think I told you that a couple of weeks ago. Underline the word after. That's important. It's after the 62 weeks. After the 7 weeks are completed, the temple is rebuilt. And now 62 weeks later, after that, the Messiah will be cut off. Very important. Very important. The cutting off of the Messiah is the most important event in God's plan in regard to the nation Israel and in regard to the world. Christ was sent in this world to die for our sins. Now that goes back to the determining factor of the six things that were going to take place. I told you they haven't happened yet. The foundation been laid. Christ's death was the reason these things are possible. The things that we mentioned in verse 24. Now this tragedy, as we see, the death of Jesus Christ was planned by God. Will you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2? See, it's not that God looked down the corridors of time and saw that there were some wicked men, so he sent his son into the world, and hopefully that they would crucify him. That isn't the way it happened. Acts 2, verse 22 and 23 says this, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs," and there's no question that he did those things. They were amazed at what he did. They couldn't understand what he did. They accused him of being having power of Beelzebub. But it was the power of God, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him, now notice this next phrase, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. Why don't you look at these words? Ekdoitos is the first word. It means to be delivered up or to hand it over, to be betrayed. To be betrayed. He is the betrayed one. He is the one that was handed over to the Romans to be crucified. Who handed him over? Who handed him over? God did. God did. God did. Did you look at the passage? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God planned it. He handed them over. Did the men hand him over? Yes. But it was God who moved those men to hand him over to this. The word determined, horizo. We get our word horizon out of this word. The horizon. It's transliterated, and I have it down there for you. Horizo. Horizo is a boundary line. It's a line that, that you look out and you see the line between heaven and earth. It's a mark along the line. That's what that word horizon means. Horizo, to mark out, to mark the boundaries or limits of something. Then to that which has been determined or ordained or appointed to happen. It's a perfect passive participle. Do you remember what the perfect tense indicates? It indicates action that was taking place and it's still in effect. God marked him out and it was still in effect. It wasn't the Jews, it was God's plan. The Jews carried out God's plan in crucifying him. They didn't do it. The word council is the word boule. It means to purpose, intention, intentional counsel, intense. This word is used almost exclusively for the will of God. There's another word for will. It's the word thelo. I don't have it written up here. But the will of God, sometimes he uses the word thelo, and he's talking about God's desire. And often God's desire for you is to rejoice evermore, for instance. You don't do it all the time. If it were God's sovereign will, it would be accomplished. This is the word that's used here. This is God's will by the determinate counsel, God's will, to take place. Now, one more word, the word foreknowledge, prognosis. Betty went into the doctors, or in the hospital, and they did a prognosis on her. What did they discover? They discovered something, they weren't sure, but they discovered that this was something that had to be done. There was a problem with the heart. This is the word that's used here, prognosis. It comes from the word pro, which means before, and gnosko, which means to know before. And so it means to know beforehand. God knows what's going to happen beforehand because he's planned it. He doesn't look down. See, what I was taught originally in God's foreknowledge is that he looked down in the corridors of time and he saw what was going to happen, and therefore he decreed it to take place. That's not foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is God knowing beforehand because he decreed it to take place. So this is what's happening here. Let me translate this word for you. This is how I translated it. This delivered up one. This delivered up one. This is Jesus. Having been marked out by the will of and the foreknowledge of God, by means of or through, the word dia is used there, through men's wickedness or lawlessness, by wicked hands, you have killed by crucifying. See, it was God's plan to take that. And it couldn't happen any other way. Daniel said, after 483 years, the Messiah will be cut off. After the triumphal entry, the Messiah was cut off. He was put to death on the cross. God planned it. Do you know why? He determined that in eternity. He revealed it in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And we see it working out, you know what? Exactly as he said it was going to. And it worked out exactly as he said it was because he determined it to happen. It wasn't an afterthought. See, I do things, and then after I get myself in a mess, I have to think about it a little bit and I change. You know what I mean? God doesn't do that. God plans it, and he carries it out exactly as he said. 173,880 days, and after that, the Messiah will be cut off. After that. Not before, not on, but after. Exactly. The all-millennialists teach that Christ's first advent was in the 70th week. Or the 70th seventh. That there were no intervals between the 69th and the 70th week. See, we believe now there's an interval coming in. They don't believe that. They believe we're in the millennium. That view, if you hold that view, let me give you three reasons why it's wrong. First of all, it ignores the fact that that verse 26 says after 62 weeks. Not after the 70th week, but after the 62nd week, this is going to happen. So Jesus Christ didn't fulfill this in the 70th week. He fulfilled it after the end of the 62, not in the 70th week. That hasn't come up yet. It overlooks the fact, this is the second, it overlooks the fact that Christ's ministry on earth was for 3.5 years, not 7 years. He didn't fulfill it in the 70th week. His ministry was only for 3.5 years on this earth. So that's wrong, what they believe. And it also ignores the fact that God's 6 actions that we saw in verse 24 pertain to Daniel's people, your people, not the church. And yet they believe that the church is fulfilling Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 26. Impossible for that to take place. Any questions? I'll give you a lot of information. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. As a matter of fact, watch this. Good question. Not for himself. Actually, that is a poor translation. And what did you have? You have nothing. All right. Actually, the word that's used there is a negative particle. That's all you have. The word means no, none, nothing. And so we have to, in make it mean something, we have to add some words to it. And your translation says he will have nothing, all right? The King James says not for himself. So if you just take that negative particle, you come up with this translation, shall have nothing. Now, Christ had nothing. When he died, he only had the little bit that he had on his body when he died. He had nothing. He never had anything except the clothes that he wore, basically. That's true. But he also did not die for himself. Now, that is a poor translation, but it does convey a truth. So both are really true. But if you're going to stick with the Hebrew, the closest you have is that he had nothing. Would be the closest. But the King James conveys the truth, and your other translations also convey the truth that he had nothing. Now my time is up. Any questions before we adjourn? We'll pick up there next time and we'll see what else happens. Those other 3 things that need to take place. Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you, Father, for the accuracy of your word. Lord, we're amazed if we look back and see that you prophesied something and then it came true exactly as you said. It should not surprise us that when you said 7 weeks and 62 weeks, that's 173,880 days exactly. No give or take, exactly. And then after that, the Messiah would be cut off exactly. So, Father, we praise you for your word. We know it's inspired. We know it's without error. And Father, as we study, we pray that you take these things and help us understand how important the word is, how accurate it is, and how important it is to know what it says. And Father, we thank you for each one that has come this morning, and we ask that as we leave this building now and go our various ways, that you might remind us that our body indeed is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we bear the Spirit with us wherever we go. Therefore, we ought to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to you. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.